Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
This whole week I've been thinking of what's going on around us. And I can see that one of the greatest things that hinders the way of revival is what we occupy our minds on. All the week through. It's no secret to know that our nation is in trouble, that the people today are hurting and confused and some angry and some happy, vice versa. But their minds are occupied in other things. And how many know that our minds are the greatest battlefield? Are you with me this morning? Our minds are the greatest battlefield that we have. Every day, God and Satan meet on that open desert of our minds, and they fight. One is fighting to inject godly things and to keep our minds focused on the Lord and the good things, while the other foe is busy about injecting worry and immoral things and hateful things and worryful things and all these negative things that deteriorate and rob us from the joy of the Lord. Our minds. Francis Frangipane writes a book that I think all of us should read. And it's The Battle of the Mind. And if you read that, you'll learn a lot about how God on a daily basis suits up in his armor per se and goes out to the field and waits for the enemy to come every morning. And once he faces the enemy come, he charges against him, and the battle begins in our minds. And depending on whom we allow and whom we give license to win deep inside of us, we maintain a life of holiness and hope in all these things. Revival. I think if we learn to win the battles of our minds and our hearts, we will be focused on revival. And I have found another thing that I believe will birth revival in our hearts. And that is hope. Hope births revival. Hope births that anticipating joy of the Lord that causes us to walk in step and to have a little hop to our step and to be happy because we know that God's in control. And when you know God's in control, it's easy for you to worship him. You see, revival, sometimes we pray that we begin on the pulpit, or we pray would begin somehow with an evangelist or whatever. But you see, revival, ladies and gentlemen, be not mistaken. Revival begins in us. And all revival is, when a church is on fire, is a whole bunch of little fires that are on fire for God. We can't expect the other people around us to be on fire and us not be, to cause the whole church to be on fire for Jesus. But if we allow our spirits to be filled with hope and get excited and allow the fire of the Spirit of the Lord to take control over us, you set on fire. You start screaming out for Jesus, and let your neighbor start screaming out to Jesus. Let the next neighbor start singing out, and you'll find out that the whole church, we begin to transform into the church that I believe God desires. Not a sleeping church, but a church of revival. Thank you this morning for coming out. You were admonished today and encouraged to let people know that we're having church and having a great time. I have to be honest with you and know that there are possibly many people who are still afraid of COVID and all these things. But there are others who have used this as an excuse not to come to church anymore. And that's a sad thing in my heart. You follow me? This is one particular excuse that I cannot argue with. One particular excuse that I cannot tell people, say, forget about COVID, just come on over. I can't do that. I'll never do that. It's up to you. And I believe that you're here today because you know that there is a guarding arm of the Lord. And in this place, COVID has no place. We are absolutely clean and protected in this place. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Give Him praise. But as we speak about hope this morning, if I can, just for a moment, I want to encourage you. If you are feeling downcast for some reason, if you are feeling hopeless, if you're feeling that this whole thing around us is stealing our joy and it's causing you to worry more than rejoice in the Lord, maybe it's nothing to do with what's going on today, but it's something in the past that you've been dragging along that's been stealing your joy. I'm glad that you're here today because I want to speak hope in your life. I want to be a blessing to you. Is that okay? I want to be an encouragement to you. I want to encourage you today to lift up your head. It's not over yet. Lift up your head. We're just beginning. Lift up your head. There's a new day coming. I believe that there is a new day coming. As destructive as it seems for our nation today, and as confusing it is, and how this is going to happen, and how, do you notice that in the news they were telling that cities all together are boarding their stores up? I mean, 10 foot tall because of the chaos. And those people that are boarded their stores out, they're out of business already. They're not working. They're waiting for this big bang of some sort to happen. You think they're happy? No. What's going to happen to our nation? Many are saying this is going to cause the biggest revolution we've ever seen in the history of our country. And there is no hope. There is no joy. And we drag these thoughts along all the way, and it brings us down in our spirit. Well, if that's you today, I'm glad that you're here. I'm here to tell you that regardless of how bad our day is here in your house or in our city or in our nation, in spite of how hard and difficult it is to see any kind of hope, I'm here to tell you hope is on its way already. Hope, if you believe the Word of God, there is hope on the way already. And I'm going to give you the scripture that proves that this morning. We're going to talk about it just for a little bit. I'm here to tell you that God wants you to hang on and hold on. And regardless of how destructive this whole thing, the aura of the events that are happening, it's not over. Nobody has that kind of control to destroy what God has edified. Nobody has the power to destroy what God has designed. And I believe that we are a nation under God. How many believe that? Hallelujah. But God wants us to keep on going and believe that hope is on the way, whether you want it or not. Hope is on the way because it's a program, it's a setup that God has placed for our lives, those of us who believe in Him. He doesn't want you to give up in the morning or mid-morning or in the evening. Why doesn't He want you to give up? And why doesn't He want you to fill your mind with negative things? Because as children of God, we're supposed to believe in God's Word. Amen? And in God's Word is filled with promises for us. And there is one particular promise that I think should bring joy, hope, and excitement, and even revival in all of our lives. I think that Rock of Ages should be the most excited church on the face of this planet. Because we believe in the promise of this Word. We believe in what this Word says for our lives. The Bible tells us that for us, the children of God, the Lord has promised fresh hope every morning. I said fresh hope every morning. Some of us may be still holding on to the hope we had yesterday. But throw that one away. Throw that hope you had yesterday away. Every morning we have fresh hope in the morning. Every morning we have fresh joy in the morning. Maybe you're trying to think of good things in the past that you can laugh about and be joyful about today. That's a good thing. But if you're depending on that old joy, throw it away. Throw that away. I'm not saying it was a bad thing, but listen. It's an old pair of shoes. God's giving you new joy today. something you can truly rejoice about, fresh. And tomorrow, you'll throw this joy away. Why? Because every morning we are promised with new joy. We are promised, every believer in this place, with new mercies. If you're feeling condemned, you're feeling pushed down, depressed, or you feel that your mistakes have been so bad, listen, throw those away. There's new mercies this morning. New mercies this morning. New mercies for you. There's new renewal for us every morning as believers. In the book of Lamentation is from where I take my text from this morning. And I've read from this passage many times before, and I want to read it again because we need to remind ourselves, especially in these times, that God's process of renewing us is still in action. It's not over. There's a lot of doomsday speakers. There are people ordering right now. One of the biggest businesses right now in the internet is the business of selling food, dry foods, for the doomsday people. They're getting all the dry broccolis, and I'm being tender. Maybe you're ordering your own stuff. If we're hungry, we're going to go to your house. But they're preparing rooms where they're filled, and pantries filled with dry goods, dry corn, dry flour, dry this, dry cereal, dry everything. Because they're expecting some kind of drought and some kind of desert experience for the whole United States, where all of us are going to be starving and begging for bread from each other. And I say to that, nah. I was promised my house would be provided for every day. And my Lord will provide for me all I need according to His riches and glory. I believe that. I do. I don't think my children are ever going to be out in the street begging the neighbor for bread. I think our pantries are going to be filled every day because God's hand is able to provide for His children. You've heard the story when the Lord rescued Israel out of Egypt. He took them through the plains and deserts without any kind of provision. Without any kind of bread, cereal, or things of that nature. But the moment they were hungry, God opened His pantry and provided for them. What do you feel like eating? We want bread. So He gave them manna from heaven. Hey Lord, we had bread, but the burger has no meat in it. So He gave them fowl from the air. Lord, we're cold. So He turned on the heater. Lord, it's hot. So He got him an umbrella. Oh, my God is able to provide for us all we need. I hope we have no doomsday people here today. Because if you're in Christ Jesus, there is no doomsday. Lamentations 3:17 through 25 reads as follows. I have been deprived of peace, and I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say my splendor is gone, and all that I hope for from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering and my bitterness and gall, and I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and this is why I've come to stir your minds. Remember, I said it's one of the greatest battlefields. I want you to lend me your heart and your mind this morning. Get it out of lunch. Get it out of what happened yesterday. Get it out of what you're going to do this week at work. Get it out. Bring it here today. Let the Lord deal with it today. Let Him fill it up. So let me borrow your hearts and your mind this morning. He said, yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassion never fails. Say with me, His compassion? Oh, come on. Really? His compassion. I said, His compassion never. Command it, never. Let the devil hear it, never. Never, ever ends. Compassion never ends. Never fails. They are new every morning. You know, this morning, if you're still dealing with stuff that you were yesterday, you're dealing with old stuff. I want to deal with new stuff today. Anybody like to wear new clothes? Yeah, new shoes? Hey, check it out. Don't be hating. I look all like all that, and you know it. I've had these shoes for about 10 years. I never wore them. They're brand new. But they sure feel good new. So I used to wearing my old boots, but I'm walking on sunshine. Hallelujah. They're new every morning. He goes, great is your faithfulness. It's not like any other faithfulness we've ever known. Yours is great. Beyond compare, beyond measure, unlike any other, great is thy faithfulness. I say to myself, now he's talking to himself. Had a little change of heart since we began. When he began to say, all my splendor is gone and I've got nothing. My wallet is empty. I look like a raggedy Ann here and I've got nothing of value. Now he says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. And therefore I will wait on him. The Lord is good, and those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him, the Bible says the Lord is his portion. If you seek the Lord today and your life belongs to him, and I trust that everyone here is saved, then you can trust God has willingly made himself your portion. I look at Lamentation, and you obviously know because you've read this before, I'm sure, is a book of mourning. Jeremiah speaks of unimaginable suffering on the part of God's people and himself as well. The people had completely lost heart because they had been prisoners to the Babylonians for so long that their hearts had been conditioned to ill feelings and loss and hopelessness. When I read this passage, I think of America today. People are beginning to be conditioned by all this hatred and all this sadness and all this should have been and what if and what's coming now. And it happens to us every time we go through troubles. Every time I go through trouble as well, there's a fight in our minds to go through that desert time and feel hopeless all together. You got time, I can talk to you about the hopelessness I felt while I spent almost three months in the hospital by myself without seeing my family when I was getting my liver put in. Talk about hopelessness. At night, they would turn the lights off in my room and I saw nothing and nobody came to see me. And I was laying there and my tears would flow. I hadn't seen my wife in 3 months. I hadn't seen my children in 3 months. But then I said to myself, Lord, you are my portion. You're all I got. You're all I have in this room. It's only you and me. Help me in my heart to believe you're all I need. And he would take me to this very passage. This is why this is so personal to me. Because at this point in time, I did feel deprived of all my glory. I was no longer Pastor Soto, the individual that people revered and loved anymore. I was their hostage, wired up in incisions everywhere and all these shots, IVs and everything. I was there. I had lost all my glory. I had lost all my strength and my hope. And when you feel that way, you've got nothing to shout for. You've got nothing to hang on to. You feel so sad. And I had nobody to scream, "The Lord is your portion," in my spirit, in my heart, because I was alone in that room. But somehow the Holy Spirit would come and stir my heart, and He would remind me, "Hey, what are you doing in mourning? There's a battle in your mind, and guess who's losing? God is losing. You're giving the devil more terrain to fill you with hopelessness. Great is thy faithfulness." You've preached it for 30 some odd years. Great is thy faithfulness. Do you not remember that every morning His mercies are new? Don't you remember that He is the God of revival? Don't you remember that He is the God of splendor? That He is your portion. That He can provide for you what no one else can, not even your family. He is the Lord your God. But this happens, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm sure it's happened to the best of us. We've gone through trying times. Our hearts are filled with loneliness and hopelessness. And so I've come to counsel you today, if that's you this morning, to do what Jeremiah said he did. He said, "I remember. I remember. I remember who I really am. I have forgotten all my splendor and all my glory, but I have decided to bridle my mind and bring these things to mind, the truth of the matter. So I've lost my crown. So I've lost my royal robe. So I've lost the throne I was sitting on. So I lost my popularity in the city. So I lost my testimony as a prophet. But what this thing I bring to mind, this thing I bring to mind, that God loves me." He said, "Because of His great love, we are not consumed." And ladies and gentlemen, I've come to tell you on behalf of the Lord, this whole thing that we're going through here in this world today, and possibly personal things you're going through in your own life, because of God's love, you're not consumed. And you never will. You know, I pray for this young man that we have here in the church by the name of Brother Laurie. You back there, Brother Laurie? How about you shouting a great amen? He's gone through a lot in his life. And I remember him well, and I remember his precious flower even more so, because she was a lot prettier than he is. But I think about him. Some of us who are nicely married and have our young wives with us, you know, we're happy. But he goes home by himself. So I pray for him, and we talk on the phone as we have the occasion. But my heart breaks. And it's easy for a gentleman to allow that sorrow to bring you to a place of hopelessness. But he's a better man than I, because he hasn't missed a service. In spite of where Sister Janet, how she took off to be with God just a little bit early, this man continues to worship the Lord. And I believe for one reason, that he remembers God's great love. You are loved by God, my brother. And you are loved by this community of believers. And we salute you, and we bless you, and we pray for you and your strength. But God loves you. It's not our strength that has kept you. It's the love of God. Every morning, God showers us with love. Jeremiah said, "I think of His love, and I am uplifted." Love these days from the pulpit is seldom spoke about, and it's almost trivial, but it's a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen. So many more people should remember that we are loved by God. If we remember that we were loved by God, we'd do things different in our lives. We'd live a lot happier. It wouldn't matter as much when we heard all these negative things, or when we went through troubles in life, or when our job was less, or they cut our hours, or our nation is in disarray. In spite of how dark our land is, we are a people loved by God. 1 John chapter 3, you know this verse. How great is the love of the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. Now in light, if we gloss over that passage, so what? We're the children of God. Don't be offended if I say this. You could have been a child of the devil. Huh? You could have been a child of the devil. And the devil has children too, not only God. Paul makes that clear to us. In the book of Acts chapter 13, then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil." But how special a treasure for us to know that we are not children of the enemy. We are children of God. We are loved by God. This is why we can separate ourselves from everything that's going on and say, "Hey, you guys handle your business, man. As far as I'm concerned, we are of a different government. We are of a different people. We belong to the Lord. If not, you just ask Him. He loves us. He loves us unconditionally." And so I believe that Jeremiah was just pumped up in his spirit because he remembered that. Deuteronomy 10:14, "To the Lord your God belong the heavens and the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. And the Lord set his affection on your fathers and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations as it is today." I try every day, ladies and gentlemen, trust me, to remember that God loves me and He chose me. And I'll tell you why it's important, because even this morning I was supposed to play worship with our young people here. They've invited me to come back and play guitar, and you know, I'm a 61-year-old man and I've been playing guitar for a long time, longer than anybody up here has been a musician. And I still love it a lot, and more so now that I'm an appendage versus a leader now. I like to sit back there and play when this young man is singing. But I woke up this morning knowing I was going to preach, and I prayed last night. But I got up this morning and my body was in shambles. I couldn't walk very well. Then I took all my pills. I only take like 15 pills in the morning. And they're hard chemicals that I have to take. And I came in here and I sat down and I started playing with them. But then I started So I put my guitar down and I quietly didn't say anything. I just got off and I went to my office. And I sat there and I cried. I couldn't play today. I wanted to play today. I couldn't play today. As a matter of fact, I almost called my boy to come in here and preach for me because I didn't think I could walk up those steps. But as I walked up here this morning and walked with Brother Rene, I kept telling myself, God loves me, man. And He's not going to abandon me on the pulpit. If I could just make it here, there's a surge of power waiting for me to hold me up. All because He loves me. All because He loves me. Secondly, Jeremiah remembered that because of that love, he never had to face the fear of being consumed and destroyed. We need to remember constantly, ladies and gentlemen, that regardless of how dark our day is, that's never the end of us. God won't allow that. People today are talking that This is the end of the world as we've known it. And it'll never be the same. And now for all of us, it's nothing but darkness and struggles and just falling apart. No, I don't believe that. I believe we're still going to have church all this coming year. And the coming year, regardless of who sits in the White House, we're still going to have church. We're not going to be consumed by any authority because the authority of the Most High is upon us. You see, I remember Jesus talking to the governor that day, and he said, you know, I have the power to destroy you. He said, you have no power unless my Father give it to you. Stop boasting yourself. And we need to stop giving the devil glory that he's going to control us. We need to continue to believe that destruction is never in the menu for our lives the next day, because God's love for us. God loves you so much. You need to believe it. And when you come to church to worship, you need to worship believing that you'll never be destroyed in such a way. No one has the power to destroy you. Regardless of the hatred that we find in Satan toward us, the devil tries to take us out on a daily basis, but God decides to keep us in. We have victory in Christ on a daily basis. And this is what we share from this pulpit every time you come in here. A reminder that we are victorious today. Even more so than we were yesterday, because today's victory is a fresh and new victory. Can you say amen? Thirdly, remember, as I begin to close this morning, remember His compassion never fails. How many know that we have an awesomely nice God? If He wasn't superly nice and awesome, He'd be spanking us all day. Yes? He'd be getting after us every day. He'd be scolding us every day. But His compassion is new every morning, and it never fails. It never fails. It's new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Nothing we can do right now is going to turn His face against us unless you turn your face against Him. And even then, I believe that God is such a great chaser. But we are not consumed because of the grace of God over our lives. Deuteronomy 7:9 reads, now therefore that the Lord God, He is faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generation to those who love Him and keep His commandments. He is a loving, compassionate God through all generations. I preached to you a sermon years ago called Pain Will Not Change His Promise. Struggles and trials and mistakes will never change the promise of God. Have you ever failed God? Don't leave me alone in this. Anybody ever failed God on a daily basis? So what are you doing here? What are you doing in church if you fail God? It's because you know He's compassionate. Amen. He's a God of second and more chances. He's a God that instead of saying to you, run away from me, He'll say, come to me. I will not run you out. I will forgive you and cleanse you and give you a new morning. And I love that about the Lord. Man, I promise you, even in my doubts sometimes, I've said, Lord, I don't know if I trust you anymore. And then I try to take it back and it's too late. God reminds me that He's compassionate over my life. And this is why I'm standing up here on this pulpit today. Because of His compassion. Because of His love. Because He is mighty. Hallelujah. And because He is with us forever. He finally says, the Lord is my portion, and therefore I will wait for Him. Are we waiting for God? Some people, while they are waiting for doomsday in our nation, what we should be doing is waiting for the Lord. I don't think we've ever had more signs, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think we've never had more confirmation in this world that tells us that Jesus is coming. Young people, Jesus is coming. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is coming. I don't know if you believe that. Do you still believe that? Have you been hearing something else, that he is not coming? Have I been so far away from this pulpit to remind you that Jesus is coming? And while everybody is complaining who's sitting at the White House, we may not have a chance to see who sits at the White House, because Jesus is coming. Amen? Jesus is coming, and we need to be ready. We need to be looking up to heaven and be ready for Jesus. We need to remember how all his mercies are new every morning, how he loves us every morning, how we're not consumed every morning with a purpose, so that we can wait for his coming. So we can see his coming. The Lord is coming, and I know it almost sounds cliche for years, but I'll tell you what, he's closer to coming now than he was 200 years ago. And I believe that we could be very much a generation. Never in the history of our country and of our people have we seen what we have seen with our visible eyes today. Never have we seen the evil run rampantly through the streets of our cities and our city offices and even our White House. Never have we seen such a travesty, such an ugliness, such a willful surrender to sin. And we're sitting here in awe. And what is all of this happening? These are the birthing pangs. These are the birthing pangs that Jesus is coming. These are things that are here to remind us that, listen, look at that world. You don't belong to that world. He's not exposing that to us so that we can be galvanized and stare at it and stay there. But we are called to look at it and understand that it's about to rain. That Jesus is coming. COVID emptied this house. COVID emptied this house. We all ran, and we had to because of mandates and things like that. But you see, we're coming back now. Why? Because we're understanding that at the end of the day, COVID or no COVID, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, I said. And we need to believe that. And because of that, I'll close as we started. Because of that, we should start a revival. We should all come in here on fire for God. We should be telling people all over the world, especially in our families. You know, I think that if all of us brought our families, we'd fill this place up corner to corner, possibly having two services. But if we just believe enough that Jesus is coming, we would do that. Because there are going to be many people that we know that will not make the rapture, because we never told them about Christ. And the reason we won't open our mouth is because we don't believe that great is his faithfulness and they're new every morning his mercies. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, if you're disappointed over anything, just remember that what happened yesterday is gone, and today everything starts fresh. Every morning for me starts fresh. I have to see progress on a daily basis. I have to see that we're moving from glory to glory. You know, I worry about the church a lot. I worry about us. The new administration is coming in, is threatening that the first thing they're going to do when this new individual comes in, if he does at all, is there's going to be a closing of the nation for 3 months. You know what that means? That means that we're going to have to go home and close it down again. Breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. We're going to have to go and meet under a tree somewhere in the woods. You understand what I'm saying? Do you understand really what I'm saying? You see the repercussions of it all? It's already national news. You need to watch that, you know. It's national news. The new attorney general, the general, whatever, surgeon general that they've appointed in this new administration is saying we need to shut down for 3 months to get a hold of COVID. That means that every business is going to be shut down. Every church is going to be shut down once again. You will not be able to meet together. That means that you and I are going to have to leave this place. And here we go again, getting our boys to come in at night to produce something we can give you over the internet just to feed you. You see all the devil is doing? This is the devil at work trying. You think it's an attack on the nation and all these things, political things? No, it's an attack on God himself. To get you and I to forget God. He's done a great work already in destroying the hope and the tenacity and the fluidity of people coming to church already. Like I said to you this morning as I began, COVID is something you cannot argue about. But there are people today who are using this excuse and going to the malls right now, into the pulga. But they're not coming to church because of COVID. It's a great excuse. You can't argue with me. If I don't come back over here, I can tell you I've got surgery and I can't expose myself to you. Are you going to argue with me? But would it be true? No. I believe in God. And we're going to keep this remnant alive and on fire for Jesus. And we want you to be a part of it. We want you to yes, come on. We're going to keep this remnant of believers here. And I thank you so much for your bravery and your hope. And your trust in God. Thank you so much for practicing that social distancing that's so difficult for us to know and want to love each other. But we're going to keep this group of people and we're going to continue going and pressing forward until we fill this place up with people that truly believe in God and are not going to worry about what's out there. Trust the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning? Don't give up, I say to you, in the name of Jesus. Trust in the Lord. He is faithful. You're dealing with something from yesterday? Throw it away. God has given you something fresh this morning. You're dragging something along from something that happened yesterday that is bringing you down. Maybe you've lost some friends over this whole thing. Don't worry about it. God's given you a new morning. Whatever it is that you're going through, God wants you to hang on. Why? Because the morning is coming. You don't ordain the morning. He does, and he's got it set up to bless you. So be happy. Now smile and rejoice that God loves you. We are not consumed because of that love. That he's a great provider. There is no doomsday talking here in this place. There's only eternal life, joy, and happiness, and provision. Salvation. Because we know who God is. Amen. Amen. We're going to pray and then we're going to pick up our offering before we go home. Father, we love you. And we thank you for your goodness, O Lord and God. Maybe there's sadness in the heart of somebody here in this house. Because of everything that's going on, everything seemed to be okay at the beginning, but now all of the things are falling apart and we're somehow including ourselves in this horrific dark time. But Lord, we are a separate people. And we fall under a different covenant. And while the world speaks destruction, we speak salvation. And Father, we refuse to carry anything along that happened yesterday that will bring us to a point of despair. A point where we feel like we've lost our glory and our luster. And realize that today, this morning, we need to take advantage of the great gifts you give us. New mercies, new joy, new hope, forgiveness, salvation. Compassion, all of it, every morning. We should get up every morning like we're opening gifts, Lord. And throw away the old stuff and open the gift of joy and take it for yourself. Open the gift of compassion and put it over yourself. Open the gift of hope and take it deep in your heart. And then get up and face the world. And however difficult it may be in the evening, you can rest assured that in the morning, you're going to have new boxes of gifts in the morning for you from the Lord. And nothing from yesterday will ever be able to keep you down. I trust in you and in you alone. So I speak joy, comfort, and hope into the lives of your people. Let us not give up from the gathering together. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you so much for their bravery. I thank you so much for their commitment to you, Lord, knowing that you are a God that protects us all. All these things we ask, and we say once again, don't give up. The morning is coming, and we're ready for it. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen. Father, bless this offering, I pray, before we leave. Thank you, Lord, for their generosity. We are able to continue keeping the church alive and well. And it's through their love and their giving, Lord. Our finances, because people have stayed home, have become a little lean. But, Father, I thank you that here we have people that are so generous in their hearts to give. And we all give, Father God, believing that we'll be able to stay open throughout this whole challenging time. In the name of Jesus, bless them in their generosity. Amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.